Oh my God, can you believe it? It's the year 2024. It's Melbourne Comedy Festival, and we've just moved venues. We're at the Grace Darling now. We had a great run at the Chinese Museum, selling out shows by the end, but now we need you to come over to the Grace Darling, and shows are at 7:15. It's going to be so much fun. I'd love to see you there. Let's have a beer. Use discount code DOGOON. The show's called Dry at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Then we're going to Sydney and Brisbane. Tickets to all that stuff's on sale now. And you can find those tickets and details at mattstewartcomedy.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart, the show where the guests write the wrong answers. I'm the titular Matt Stewart, and our first guest this week is comedian and host of Good Tucker at Saran Jayamana.
Hello, yes, it is me, host and comedian of Good Tucker.
You're back to back. You know, you got your first point last week. How are you feeling this week?
I'm hungry for more.
Yeah, you got a little taste now.
Yeah, and I went 0-1. Let me tell you, it's not going to go incremental like that.
Okay. Anymore. Oh, yeah? It's going to start exponential rise here? Yeah.
Yes, exponential.
For new listeners, Saran was on the first episode and didn't score a point.
Which I think exponential from one would be two.
It would be the same as incremental.
Yeah.
In this case, but the next four, one. Yeah. Now we're cooking. Yeah.
Meteoric. Yeah.
Our second contestant is comedian Raewyn Pickering. Welcome, Raewyn.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you, Matthew.
First time on the show, Raewyn. How are you feeling? First time.
Well, as long as because you just said so, Saran got zero his first time. Mm. That's a low bar.
Yeah.
So I reckon I'm going to hurdle over with confidence.
Okay.
I feel like I've got an all right understanding of this game.
Pride comes before a fall, I'll say that.
Interesting. Who said that they would win incrementally from now on?
Exponentially.
The proud boy over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Proud boy.
I've been called a lot of things.
All right. The way the show works is I ask a relatively obscure trivia question and our contestants have to write a convincing fake answer. I then read their answers as well as the real one and they have to guess which one is correct. Okay. Are we ready to play?
Let's do it.
Here's question number one. This one comes from listener Julie from Bentley. And the question is, what does cacafuego mean? What does cacafuego mean? I hope I'm pronouncing that right. C-A-C-A-F-U-E-G-O. Cacafuego. If it's not right, geez, it should be because it feels fantastic. It's a fantastic feeling word in the mouth. And while they're writing their answers, I'll explain how the scoring works. You get 1 point if your fake answer is guessed by the other contestant and another point if you correctly guess the answer. By the way, I'm also playing as the house. I've put in two of my own fake answers for each question with the help of the question writer, and I get a point for each one of those that our guests choose. So each of us can score up to 2 points per round, which seems fair, but the probability actually favours me, the house, and the house always wins. So if you've listened to previous episodes, you'll know this is nearly never the case. Anyway, our questions come from our great Patreon supporters, and if you want to submit a question, sign up on any level via patreon.com/dogoonpod, which is linked in the show notes. So they've got their answers in. Let's go to our first question. What does cacafuego mean? A spicy chocolate treat from Spain? The nickname for Pablo Escobar's toilet? A swaggering braggart or boaster? A Spanish word meaning fiery caca? A burning bag of poop left on someone's doorstep as a prank?
Ooh.
I mean, those last two are very similar. So you got a spicy chocolate treat from Spain, the nickname of Pablo Escobar's toilet, a swaggering braggart or boaster, Spanish word meaning fiery caca, or a burning bag of poop left on someone's doorstep as a prank.
I have a question. What's a braggart or boaster?
Yeah.
A braggart is like someone who brags a lot.
Oh.
A boaster, someone who boasts a lot.
Okay. Yeah, great.
I mean, a bragger.
Yeah, so it's just like a blowhard sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because to me, when you said a braggart, it sounds like something you use in, it's a, you go to the hardware store to pick up a braggart.
The braggart near the brackets.
Yeah.
Someone who's braggadocio.
Okay.
Is that a word?
Braggadacious.
Braggadacious.
Yeah, I'm going to say that. Cacafuego, because they're walking around thinking they're hot shit.
Right. Is that the Spanish translation? Uh-huh. Hot shit? Well, so Soren's locking in swaggering braggart or boaster?
Yeah, that's good reasoning. So we're supposed to, yeah, obviously lock in what we think is the correct answer.
Yes, and you can lock in the same as Soren, or you can choose something else. That's
but just you. So you know, up until this point, I've only ever scored one point.
But I did like that reasoning, that it was like it's someone that thinks they're hot shit, I guess. Yeah, I'll lock in the same.
Lock in the same. I love this. I love this. This is how you know Raywin hasn't played before.
I am not using any kind of reasoning or logic.
And no matter how much Soren has warned you that he never gets it right, you've still jumped all in with him, and I love that. All right, let's go through who wrote the answers. A burning bag of poop left on someone's doorstep as a prank. That was the house. A Spanish word meaning fiery caca. That was Soren. A spicy chocolate treat from Spain. That was also the house. The nickname of Pablo Escobar's toilet was Raywin, meaning the correct answer is a swaggering braggart or boaster.
Oh. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
We're
I would like to celebrate my second ever point, but you just one for one at the moment.
Already doing so far above what you did for the whole game, your first one.
100% record.
Wow. I was pretty happy with that logic.
I don't even know if it's right or not.
You won me over.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to think about
it. The point of the game is for us to beat each other, though. One of us should win. If we pick the same answers the whole way through.
Well,
I mean, that could be fun.
Logic. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's teamwork.
Especially if you start picking the house's answers and then the house just runs away with it.
Oh, that, yeah, runaway train.
All right, quick score update. After one round, the house is on 0 points. Soren is on 1 point. Can you believe it? And Raywin is also on 1 point.
Yeah. I told you, exponential. Can't wait to get that second point.
The next question, question number two, comes from Mike Salt from Southern Oregon. And Mike's question is, who is the Loveland Frogman? Who is the Loveland Frogman? And while you're writing your answers, here's some more information on Cacafuego. According to Merriam-Webster, the Cacafuego was a Spanish ship captured in 1579 by the English Admiral Sir Francis Drake. The word may have developed its insulting sense because some sailors, either the ones who lost the ship or the ones who won it, did some serious bragging. Cacafuego, by the way, comes from the Spanish word fuego, meaning fire, and ultimately the Latin cacare, meaning to void as excrement. The word probably referred to the ship's cannon fire. So interestingly, while Soren's logic does make sense, it seems like they took the long way around for it to come back to mean that.
They went on a journey.
Somehow it seems like that has come just because the sailors on that ship named the Cacafuego, which was probably named after cannon fire, they were braggers. You know what I mean? It's come a long way around, but it does almost literally mean what it...
Yeah.
True. But where does the hardware store fit into that?
Yeah, good question. Merriam-Webster, if you're listening, please write in and please update the entry on your website.
Mm. I didn't want to break Soren's concentration, whatever the longest answer is.
No, I was just sending a text.
No, you've written two things, but it's just one of those? The second one.
Great. I added a word.
All right. The answers are in.
It is with two players, it is a lot harder to write a long answer.
I mean, there's three other locked-in answers and you never know the length of those.
That's true.
All right. Question number two. Who is the Loveland Frogman? The Loveland, New Jersey baseball team's mascot? A frog expert who appeared on daytime TV in Canada in the 1980s, a scandal was caused when news broke that he ate frog in the ponds for dessert using real frogs. Underwater Casanova in an initial Aquaman script. A mysterious 4-foot-tall humanoid frog that waves a magical wand that emits sparks that was first spotted in Ohio in the 1950s? Or Loveland is a place of no judgment. People who visit are free to enjoy fornication with any creature of their choosing, whether it be a frog, whether it be a crow. But sometimes these illicit rendezvous have consequences. Thus, we have today the Loveland Frogman.
I don't get it. Is that a real place or that's written? It's just.
I don't know.
Yeah.
A couple of those were quite long. True. I don't know which one are.
Yeah, multiple long ones, couple of short ones. Do you need to hear them again, Raywin, or you got one ready to lock in?
Look, I feel like there was one standout for me
that
I thought was really believable, and that was the mascot for the New Jersey.
The Loveland, New Jersey baseball team?
New Jersey, that first one.
Someone's trying to win.
I thought that one is more believable than fucking a crow. Saran.
No, don't knock it until you have tried. Okay, right. So can I hear them again? Just the first one.
So you have the Loveland, New Jersey baseball team's mascot, the frog expert.
You know what? I'm going to lock in the New Jersey mascot.
All right, you too. Yes. Just sticking together.
Gee whiz. I guess you can see a winner.
Yeah.
Well, you know. So you're just trying to hold on to that point.
Here's who wrote the answers. Let's go through them.
Are you getting nervous? We will beat the house this episode.
The underwater Casanova in an initial Aquaman script that was written by Raywin. Mm. The frog expert who ended up eating frogs in the pond with real frogs. That was the house. The offspring of a human and a frog from a place where crows are sometimes fornicated with. That was Saran. The Loveland, New Jersey baseball team's mascot was the house, meaning the correct answer was a mysterious 4-foot-tall humanoid frog that waves a magical wand that emits sparks.
That's not mutually exclusive to my one.
That was first spotted in Ohio in the 1950s.
Yeah, but he comes from Loveland.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's like Ohio.
Loveland, Ohio. That's
a humanoid frog.
Ohio is like Bigfoot. Is this massive frog that emits sparks.
With a wand.
Webfoot.
So that means in round two.
Wow.
2 points to the house.
Okay.
And a quick score update here.
Okay.
Raywin, 1 point. Saran, 1 point.
Okay, so it's even.
Hot tie. As a team.
Yes, that's right.
2 points each.
Mm.
Out in front, it's the house on 2 points or equal with the rest if you want to group together as.
I prefer the team, but you can call us the rest if you
want. I'll tell you a little bit more about the Frogman in a second, but here's question number three. This one comes from Will Hancock from Paducah, Kentucky in the United States. Question is, the Battle of Texel in 1795 is known for being the only battle in history where what happened? The Battle of Texel. In 1795 is known for being the only battle in history where what happened? So while you're writing your answers, I'll let the audience know a bit more about the Loveland Frogman. According to Wiki, according to various legends, the creature was first sighted by a businessman driving along an unnamed road late at night in 1955. In one story, the driver was heading out of the Branch Hill neighborhood when he spotted three figures stood erect on their hind legs along the side of the road. Each 3 to 4 feet in height with leathery skin and frog faces. In other versions of the story, the creatures were spotted under or over a poorly lit bridge, and one held a wand over its head that fired a spray of sparks. Flash forward nearly two decades, and on March the 3rd, 1972, at 1 a.m., Loveland police officer Ray Shockey was driving on Riverside Drive near the Totes Boot Factory and the Little Miami River when an unidentified animal scurried across the road in front of his vehicle. The animal was fully illuminated in his vehicle's headlights, and he described it as 3 to 4 feet long with leathery skin. He reported spotting the animal crouched like a frog before it momentarily stood erect to climb over the guardrail and back down towards the river. So this is a policeman. You know, it's not some local oddball. I mean, he could be. Policemen can be oddballs too. 2 weeks after the incident, a second Loveland police officer, Mark Matthews, reported seeing an unidentified animal crouched along the road in the same vicinity as Shockey's sighting. Matthews shot the animal. See, these aren't just some oddballs, they're police. Matthews recovered the body and put it in his trunk to show Officer Shockey. According to Matthews, it was a large iguana about 3 or 3.5 feet long, and he didn't immediately recognize it because it was missing its tail. Matthews speculated the iguana had been someone's pet that either got loose or was released when it grew too large. According to Matthews, Shockey was shown the dead iguana and confirmed it was the animal he had seen 2 weeks previously. So a bit of a downer there. Apparently, one of these cops was interviewed for this book about cryptids and, you know, mysterious animals, and they relayed the whole story apart from the bit about it being an iguana. They're just like, he saw it. It was a frogman. And then just didn't let the readers know
didn't
that
tell
it
anyone.
Was... They figured out it was definitely an iguana.
Wow.
All right, the answers are in. Here is question number 3. The Battle of Texel in 1795 is known for being the only battle in history where what happened? Fighting stopped when a small comet landed between the armies. An officer called Reginald Texel broke ranks, screaming, and threw hot beans over himself as a way to forfeit the battle. A cavalry troop of horsemen defeated a fleet of warships. The winner was decided by a literal pissing competition. Or, like drones, super soakers were first invented for use by the army, but they were only used in one battle before being scrapped due to ineffectiveness. They then became available to the general public. Super soakers, like water pistols.
In 1795.
Yeah, that's earlier than I realized. So you got fighting stopped when a small comet landed between the armies. Reginald Texel broke ranks, screaming, throwing hot beans over himself as a way to forfeit the battle. The only time that's ever happened. A cavalry troop of horsemen defeated a fleet of warships. The only time that's ever happened. The winner was decided by a literal pissing competition. The only time that's ever happened. Mm. Or the super soakers were first used. And the only time they ever used. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, a couple of centuries later, they were in Kmart. Okay, so, Soren, any thoughts here?
Yeah, I like the idea that the Battle of Texel was... because of a guy called
Reginald Texel. Yeah.
And then he regrets starting that battle.
Yeah.
And so he threw hot beans at himself, which is the only way you could.
The only time as well.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone went, well, is that a forfeit? We normally use a white flag. Yeah. He's going with hot beans.
We don't want to argue with that.
And then he had to explain. They do a whole thing. All right, locking that in for Soren.
Yeah, Reginald Texel.
Mm. Raven, what are you thinking? Are you gonna jump
questions.
In?
Okay. I think I'm going to. What stood out to me was the pissing contest, but a few questions. Do you think they're going for height or
quantity, quality?
Quantity, I didn't even.
You meant distance.
Who has the most crystal clear?
Maybe force of stream,
yeah.
Pressure.
Yeah.
There's so, yeah.
Could it be height or.
A lot
or
of information
distance?
Left out. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And would it be the whole squadron? Is in on this or
yeah?
The,
do you get to pick
your two best pissers?
Yeah, what do you call
in
it?
In the front,
you get to pick a. They have a word for that in
conscription.
Conscription. Mm. You got to conscript someone. There's a lot of.
Yeah.
Oh no, I've been conscripted into the piss war.
Yeah, I imagine it's like the start of that that Troy movie where it is just two guys. It's just Brad Pitt pissing on a much bigger guy. but he wins. I reckon it's. I like to think in 1795 that, and it's probably height. I want to lock in that it's even.
I mean, I thought we were picking as a team, but that's no. You can go. You can go off on your own tangent.
All right, so you're going with the literal pissing competition.
I think so.
All right, here Texel. Is who wrote the answers. The Super Soakers. That was written by Soren. I thought that was fantastic work.
I
created a whole history.
You did
a world.
I loved it. A few weeks ago, there was a question about the Civil War, and one of the fake answers was that it was the first time a submarine was used in battle, and we all laughed. And then I got a tweet saying there was a submarine used in the in the Civil War. And
wow! So made we're us laughing look like now, real fools. But
yeah,
someone's going,
that is when Super Soakers.
Someone's going to tweet you being like, Super Soakers. Yeah,
wasn't the Battle of Texel?
Actually, they were in the
1600s.
Small comet landing, that was written by The House. That was a suggestion by Will Hancock, the question writer himself. Then we had the winner was decided by a literal pissing competition. That was also written by The House.
Oh, bummer.
So 1 point of The House from Raywin there. An officer called Reginald Texel broke ranks, pouring hot beans all over himself. That was written by Raywin. So a point to Raywin.
Reginald Texel.
Meaning the correct answer was a cavalry troop of horsemen defeated a fleet of warships. So 1 point to the house.
That's exciting.
Well, that's not the only time that's happened.
That horses beat boats.
Yeah.
How's that playing out, do you reckon?
Well, because the boats have to... They're not fighting over the water. They'd want the land. And the boats, you know what boats can't do?
Yeah.
Take land.
Go win up. The Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so quick score update on 1 point. It's Saran. Still his best ever, equal Ooh. Best ever. On 2 points, it's Raywin, but out in front on 3 points, it's the house. Still, if you're going house versus the rest, it's 3-all.
Exactly. Mm. Thanks, Raywin.
We've got to take this house down.
Here is question number 4. This one comes from Edward Bassanelli from Canberra. I'm pretty sure, Saran, you and I met Edward at a show in Canberra years ago.
Yeah, I remember it fondly. Oh.
And Edward's question is, the children's band The Wiggles have many different characters featured in their songs and shows, such as Dorothy the Dinosaur and Captain Feathersword. But what is the name of a rare Wiggles character that appeared on their first album?
Oh.
What is the name of a rare Wiggles character that appeared on their first album? Lucky. A lesser known character.
Yeah, lucky I'm a fan of their earlier work.
Yeah, yeah. Back when they were a 5-piece, I learned. Because the 5th member wrote this song. Fun fact.
Cool.
I normally don't throw in a fun fact this early in the day. While you're writing your answers, here's a little more info about the Battle of Texel from the Smithsonian. The Battle of Texel remains the only instance in history where a cavalry troop, horse riding soldiers, captured a fleet of ships. It happened in 1795, though it wasn't exactly a battle. Jeez, they walk it back in the first paragraph. The winter of 1794/1795 was extremely cold in Holland, and when a storm rolled in, a Dutch fleet anchored in the Strait of Maasdijk tried to shelter by Texel Island, which was, I'm assuming, named after Reginald Texel,
yeah,
until the storm blew over. But then found themselves iced in, writes author David Blackmore. At the time, the French were fighting against the Dutch Republic, as well as alongside revolutionaries within the Netherlands who supported the ideas of the French Revolution. News of the stuck ships reached French General Jean-Charles Picquegrou, who told Johan Willem de Winter, a Dutch admiral who worked for the French, to deal with it. De Winter sent out infantry, cavalry, and horse artillery. The troops arrived on January 22 and camped out for the night. The French leader sent hussars, famed French cavalrymen, to go see if they could intimidate the Dutch into surrendering.
Hussar!
But at this point, the Dutch weren't intending to do much else. Subsequent French military protagonists sponsored the unlikely story of ragged men thundering on their horses across the ice to capture, with naked sword, the battle fleet of Holland, Blackmore writes. In fact, it was a lot more mundane. It's not totally clear what happened, he writes, but there wasn't a big battle, and it's likely the scene was pretty quiet. They rowed up to one of the ships, and the two sides agreed to wait for orders. 5 days later, the Dutch crew swore an oath to comply with French orders and maintain naval discipline, but were allowed to remain under the Dutch flag, he writes. So it's actually the most dull story ever.
Yeah.
This troop of horses rowed up and the other side said, all right, civil. Let's chat.
Yeah.
And the horse, so technically the horse team won.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Get the hot beans involved.
Yeah. Let's spice this up a bit.
Get some caca fuego.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Here is question number 4. What is the name of a rare Wiggles character that appeared on their first album? Itchy Scratchy the Crab? Brigadier General Belvedere Kendall? Mischief the Monkey? Rodney Rumball? Or Gary from Accounts? One of these is a real character from the first Wiggles album. Itchy Scratchy the Crab? Brigadier General Belvedere Kendall? Mischief the Monkey? Rodney Rumble or Gary from Accounts? What are you thinking here, Saran?
I think it's Brigadier Gimble.
Okay, well, that wasn't one of the options, but
I couldn't remember the middle bits, but, you know, the Brigadier.
He's going rogue.
I want to lock in my own answer.
The one that had that rhythm.
Brigadier General Belvedere Kendall.
Yeah,
I'm locking that in for Saran.
Brigadier General. So he would just wear some kind of officer outfit, a bit like a pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's the one who.
He's the prototype feather sword. They're like, a bit too much of a mouthful for the toddlers.
It was a mouthful for me.
Yeah, I do like the rhythm of that one. Brigadier General.
Gumball Kendall.
Belvedere Kendall.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they would go for Gary.
Okay.
Or.
So you've also got Itchy Scratchy the Crab, Mischief the Monkey, or Rodney Rumble.
Oh, Mischief the Monkey. That could be a fun wiggle. Okay, so just for the difference, well, let's go Mischief the Monkey then. That could be a fun little.
All right.
I'll look a fun that character.
In for Eowyn.
You know, he's out there setting fire to things. Oh, Mischief Monkey.
Yeah. Mischief. Pretty big mischief. Misdemeanor the Monkey.
It's just stealing things.
Yeah, klepto.
It's pretty.
Aggravated assault. Oh, dear.
All right, here's who wrote the answers. Gary from Accounts. That was written by The House. Rodney Rumble was written by Saran. I'd love to know your process here, Saran. Listeners don't know that Raywin brought in a nice
Rodney.
Box of Rodney's. Chocolate Rodney's. A box of Rumbles, homemade Rumbles, even. Rumbles.
Delicious.
So good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And they're obviously front of mind for Saran.
Very much so.
Itchy Scratchy the Crab was written by Raywin. Brigadier General Belvedere Kendall was written by The House.
Oh,
meaning Mischief the Monkey was correct.
Yes.
So 1 point for Raywin.
Mr. Mean a Monkey. Would be a great one to bring back.
1 point for The House. I think, you know, let's write a letter to Jeff or whoever's in charge. Now, these days at the Wiggles. Anthony.
Yeah.
Murray.
Emma. I think she's got a strong.
I think she's gone too. I think I've just named everyone who's left.
I think Murray's the guy who's in charge of everything, right?
We, at Dave Warnicki's Bucks Night, they'd planned out the day. You know, we played Mario Kart at a cinema and then we went to this fancy pub and we went to a few different places. And then last minute, we all went to Cherry Bar to watch Murray the Wiggle play in his, like, rock band, and it was so good.
Wow.
Warnicki has a great photo with Murray, the sweatiest man you've ever seen. He's just rocked out for, 2 hours, and he's, like, dripping with sweat. What a moment.
Wow.
And to think now if I could go back, I could have been like, I remember the Mischief the Monkey days, Murray. And, you know, it just started a real conversation.
Yeah, you could have. You could have floated some suggestions.
Yeah.
Misdemeanor, the Monkey.
Brigadier General.
Brigadier General. Kimble, Kimble.
All right, so quick score update.
On 1 point.
On 1 point, it's Saran. In second place on 3 points is Raywin, but out in front on 4 points, it's The House. And that brings us up to question number 5. We are racing through this episode. We're in the back half now. Question number 5 comes from Brian Nichols from Melbourne. Who wrote the question, what did Harry Styles tweet on the 9th of October, 2011? What did Harry Styles tweet on the 9th of October, 2011? All right. And while they're writing their answers, here's the lyrics to the song Mischief the Monkey. Mischief the Monkey, bananas galore. He'll eat a whole bunch, then cry out for more. If you search through the jungle, you'll see what we mean. He's gobbled them up. All yellow and green. Yellow and green? Mischief the Monkey. Bananas galore. He'll eat a whole bunch, then cry out for more. If you search through the jungle, you'll see what we mean. He's gobbled them up. All yellow and green. Yellow and green. Yes, yellow and green. Yellow and green. It's really beautiful stuff. All right. The answers are in. So here is question number 5. What did Harry Styles tweet on the 9th of October, 2011? Watched a TV show called The X-Files last night and it was pretty good. If you like science fiction drama, it's worth a look. 9, 10, 11. I feel like touching Kevin because the date is the 9th of the 10th of the
year. Oh, that's pretty good.
Simon Cowell. Say it over and over and it sounds so weird. Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell. Simon Cowell. So weird.
Strange for a tweet. That'd be a good Instagram story maybe, but it...
Mm.
Just used deep heat when I went for a pee. A mistake has been made. Or been searching for my brother all my life. Today at the train station I met him. Great to finally meet you, Turn Styles.
Oh, my God.
That is terrible.
Oh, well, I mean, he's a singer. You don't know, people don't always take that much time on their
That's true.
Tweets. Gee, and this is from 2011.
He's not trying to blow up.
That might have been in drafts for a while.
Yeah, he's not trying to get a writing job. Or...
No.
I looked it up. I think he was on, like he was sort of discovered on Simon Cowell's TV show in 2010. So this
this is
so
fresh.
He's big.
He's just sort of being launched. I think maybe One Direction has just sort of been founded.
Yep, yep.
But I think they were pretty big pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But is he from America?
England.
Oh, okay. Because then 9, 10, 11.
They'd say 10, 9, 11. Yeah. They do things a little differently over there.
Yeah, just
trying
to.
Are they in England as well?
No, I think they go 9, 10, 11.
Yeah, I think everywhere else pretty much does. Mm. But I always found it very strange that Americans do that other way. But someone, I mentioned that on a podcast in the past, and someone tweeted me saying, it makes sense because, you know, people normally say, they say October the 9th, 2011, not 9th of October, 2011. And I'm like, well, I say 9th of October, 2011, yeah. But I get your point as well. do you need to hear them again or are you happy to lock one of these in?
Yeah, could I have them again?
Watched a TV show called The X-Files last night and it was pretty good. If you like science fiction drama, it's worth a look. 9, 10, 11, I feel like touching Kevin. Simon Cowell, say it over and over. It sounds so weird. Simon Cowell, Simon Cowell, Simon Cowell. So weird. Just used deep heat, then went for a wee. A mistake has been made. Well, been searching for my brother all my life. Today at the train station I met him. Great to finally meet you, Turn Styles.
Oh, because his brother's name is Turn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
and his name's Harry Styles.
His surname, they both have the surname Styles.
Yeah.
That's quite clever. I don't think Harry's that clever.
Yeah.
I think he's going for more of the
deep heat.
The deep heat guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's still trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But he's going base level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a true life experience.
Yeah. But then I'm not sure if he's like more of a stream of consciousness kind of guy
with the
Simon Cowell.
Simon Cowell. Yeah.
Where he's just I guess all of them. Or X-Files.
Would he? So,
I feel like
so
it's
he was
late
discovered
to
by.
See X-Files, though, 2011.
Mm.
You know?
He might have been. He got there through Californication, though.
Yeah, worked backwards.
Because that was
he was
pretty
a big
DeKalb
head.
2011. Yeah.
Yeah. He was a DeKalb head,
and he would have been. You know, would
he's
have been
a
like
kind of
17.
Horny guy watching Californication.
Oh yeah,
what
makes
other
sense.
Work?
That makes sense.
And then so it could be the deep heat too.
Mm.
Yeah, horny guy.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, always have
it
sore
all comes
muscles.
Back.
So what are we locking in?
Hot peens.
I think hot peens too.
So both going for deep heat wee?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go through who wrote the answers. Watched a TV show called The X-Files last night, blah, blah, blah. That was The House. That was actually something I tweeted a year ago.
Yeah. It felt familiar to me, yeah. Also, so that was a year ago, 2020.
Yeah. I've been late, really getting in late.
And so that was the entirety of what I thought the joke was, that I'm like thinking I'm letting people in on this underground show, you know, like people do, but it just doesn't
Did
come out clearly.
Did you get through Californication as
Yes,
well?
I worked back from Californication because I was horny in 2011. But it's like I forget that tweets never come across or very rarely come across as their attendance. So people are just like take everything at face value.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I was, you're right. It's a very weak joke. But surely you know that I'm trying to be funny at least.
I reckon
it is good to get into those arguments. So yeah.
Yeah.
9th of October 2011, I think a lot of people thought that Harry actually had a brother called Turn.
Yeah.
Did they take it at face value?
Which brings me to the tweet about great to finally meet you, Turnstiles. That was from Bussarant.
That was a good one. Oh.
Your initial reaction betrays you there,
very
Aaron.
Condescending.
Well, because, I mean, I think I was more saying that because you acted like you didn't understand it at first.
Yeah.
You were like... You were playing the game. Saran. I thought we were a team, to be honest.
Well, we I'm glad you found out nearly at the end of the show that you know you are actually playing amazing. Against each other. Yeah.
All right.
9, 10, 11, I feel like touching Kevin. That was Raywin. Now, can you sort of take us behind the scenes here? Who's Kevin in this case? Is he a member of the band?
He's a guy whose name rhymes with 11.
Yeah. Could be a lyric. throwing it out there for him. Something that rhymes. A nice stage manager, maybe.
Yes.
You know.
Maybe one of the other judges on that show might have been a Kevin.
Kevin Cow?
Yeah. Simon Cow, say it over and over. It sounds so weird. That was the house. Which means the correct answer is just use deep heat and then went for a wee. A mistake has been made. So 1 point to Saran. 1 point to Raywin. Meaning Saran has now doubled his best ever score.
We're going exponential.
Now Saran's on 2 points, but in the lead, each on 4 points is Raywin in the house.
Yay.
Still truly anyone's game with 2 rounds to go. Here is question number 6. This one comes from Sam Lacey from Manchester in the UK. The question is, what did Pope Gregory the Ninth do on June the 13th, 1233?
June the 13th, 1233.
Yes.
Okay.
What did Pope Gregory the Ninth do on June the 13th, 1233? While you're writing those answers, here's some more info on Harry Styles' tweet. It had over 6,000 likes and 7,000 retweets, which is good numbers for back in 2011. I found a Reddit thread. I'm trying to like – there was no more information I could tell people about. So I found a Reddit thread where someone asked for advice for how to soothe themselves after doing a similar thing. They wrote, if someone were to rub deep heat all over their balls, how would one hypothetically reduce the intense burning sensation? This is a thread from – yeah – many around the same time, actually. What's Reddit? Said simply, milk. Pockmark wrote, well, it sounds like you, in inverted commas, hypothetically fucked up. But in any case, use peanut butter. Don't ask how I know this. And Augustus Gus wrote, there's nothing else for it. You'll have to amputate. There was another person whose account has been deleted since who said that he should... fuck a snowman in its snowman ass or something.
Oh my god.
And I forgot to write that down, but looking at your response intense. There, Raywin.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah. And are you fucking it with your balls, you know? Their answer sort of created
more questions.
Yeah.
So no one just went with like put – isn't that with like chili with something hot, you put milk on it?
No, the first person said milk, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't
– yeah. Second person said peanut butter.
Yeah.
Third person said chop them off.
Mm.
That's the trick is when you're eating spicy food, you'd think it would be water.
Right.
You'd think it would be
– which a snowman is – you know how humans are mostly made of water? A snowman is nearly entirely made of water.
They are the only creature more water than humans.
Yeah. Basically real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess just the, you know, it's only the accoutrements that are non-water or, you know, a carrot. That's still probably
a carrot would
mostly
have a
made
high
of water.
Water content.
That's true. Yeah.
What are the eyes?
What do people use as eyes?
Do you know, Raywin?
Raywin, growing up in country Queensland, did you have a lot of experience
with
snowmen?
What would, no experience at all.
With a snowman?
With a snowman.
Okay. No, the only snow I've ever seen was pretty weak.
But there was
weak.
The hail. Like, you definitely hail get hail. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the hailmen were big.
Yeah. What do you use for eyes on a hailman?
I guess rocks.
Rocks.
What would
rocks.
They be?
Yeah, that
isn't
makes
that
sense.
The classic?
And I imagine rocks probably have a pretty low water percentage.
But the rest of the hailmen, almost 100% water.
That's right.
Like a real person.
Yeah. Makes you think, which I think this show is all about, just making people think.
Who knew it? What? So what kind of songs does Murray, his regular rock band?
From memory, it was late in the night or late in the day. I would say sort of like bluesy rock, party rock.
Is he trying to do you think he tries to hide from the fact that he's – like are people shouting out requests for
– I think they did a short – like a short part of their encore was some sort of Wiggles.
Oh, tribute. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that – yeah, like one of the big ones, Big Red Car or something.
Oh, yeah, great. Mm. That's fun.
Which I think is nice because, you know, there would be many who would be like, oh, we're actually – this is very serious, you know. Question 6. What did Pope Gregory the Ninth do on June the 13th, 1233? He accidentally let slip that he wasn't 100% on the whole God existing thing. On the 13th of June, 1233, or as some people refer to it, June the 13th, 1233, the Pope of the day started Italy's and, in fact, the world's very first pizza delivery shop, the phone number for which was 13633.
Oh. That's yeah. very good.
I wonder if that's a coincidence because that was the date.
Oh, it was too?
Yeah. Wow. What are the odds?
maybe he waited till that day to launch.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah. clever marketing.
He thought of it, yeah, quite a while before.
The Catholic Church has always been good at the business side.
Yeah.
And the hiding things till.
Yes. Hiding a
the appropriate.
Yeah. Until the appropriate time. Sometimes there is never
there
an,
is
appropriate
an appropriate
time. No.
And so.
Option 3, he issued an official papal decree declaring that Satan was half cat and sometimes took the form of a cat. He threw a silver plate in anger at a local pauper. When the pauper caught the plate and threw it back, the two inadvertently invented the frisbee.
Ah, yes. Love that. I've read that story, the pauper versus the pauper.
Or finally, Pope Gregory actually singed his hair on the candles during a sermon in such a manner he wore the first ever mullet.
I know for a fact. Well, I don't actually know for a fact, but I have a strong feeling it's the papal decree.
About the cat?
About the
cat.
Satan cat. Yeah.
Okay, looking at him for Saran.
I've met a few cats lately and they are fucked.
Yeah. Satanic?
Yeah.
Wow.
Jeez.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't need to strong. Give it a that's decree strong. To say it, but...
Mm.
Yeah. Wow. Does that decree still stand? Like once you've – is that what like
– Yeah, I don't know if maybe
– So now people
did Gregory
are still
the
following.
10th walk it back a little? I'm yeah. not sure.
I like the first Frisbee game that they just had fun with it,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, that he was just a fun-loving pope,
yep.
you know, not like these recent popes.
Well, I mean, he threw it in anger.
Yeah, but then...
I mean, a fun-loving
pope. At a pauper.
But then the pauper took the funny side of yeah. you know, he took the...
Great reflexes.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Imagine a silver plate's pretty heavy too.
Yeah. Oh, paupers renowned for their great reflexes.
Okay.
They've got to.
Frisbee, traditionally, in the old days, one of the most expensive sports to play.
Yeah. Really hoarding those silver plates.
So is that what you're looking at? Or are you...
You don't think if he's a fun-loving guy, he might start a pizza shop?
That's a good point. There's nothing more fun-loving than you know, going into a small business. You know, carefree. What a carefree lifestyle, yeah. just starting a small business from the ground up. Although, you know, let's be honest.
Just for the people.
He was born into a little bit of privilege, I assume.
Yeah.
His name was Gregory. There's no more privileged way to start
more.
Life than being.
Need I say more?
And he's the ninth Gregory.
Yeah.
There have been
eight people
before
him. A long
line of very privileged
Gregory's.
Gregory's. That's plural.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the game and I reckon it is the cat. Because I want to hold on. If Saran gets this point, I'm not gonna.
You're also playing against the house, don't forget,
yeah,
as well.
You could just be given the house too.
And the house, of course, is, you know, no offense to Saran, but probably
the biggest threat
of this. Competitor. locking in the papal decree for Raewyn. Here's who wrote the answers. He accidentally let slip he wasn't 100% on the whole God existing thing. That was the house. starting a pizza delivery shop with the number 13633. That was Saran. which is actually makes it because you were pushing that to Raywin, which is, I don't know, it
made me uncomfortable.
I don't know where that sits.
Actually,
oh, you're not allowed to do that.
Morality wise,
oh, right, yeah, okay. Don't get all popey.
I don't know how Gregory would feel about that.
Give a decree here.
Man, I love there was a pope, not a pope. There were at least nine popes called Gregory. That's so good. Threw a silver plate in anger, inadvertently inventing the frisbee. That was also the house. And singeing his hair, making the first ever mullet. That was Raywin, meaning the correct answer is he issued an official papal decree declaring that Satan was half cat and sometimes took the form of a cat. So 1 point to Saran, now tripling his best ever score. 1 point to Raywin, meaning the scores are now in third place. It's your best ever score, but you're still coming last. It's Saran on 3 points. Then we've got in second place the house on 4 points, but way out in front by one point. On 5 points, it's Raywin.
Anyone's game.
Anyone's game. Going into the last round, 2 points up for grabs. Literally anyone can win this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here is the final question. Question number 7. We always finish with a synopsis question. This one comes from Dave Loring from Hobart in Tasmania. And the question is, what is the plot of the 1977 film Chatterbox? What is the plot of the 1977 film Chatterbox? And while your answers are being written, here's some more information about the aftermath of the Pope's decree, according to All That's Interesting. So soon after the decree, Catholics around the continent began slaughtering any feline that entered their property. We may still see the effects of the mass cat slaughter today. It's been suggested that the lack of black cats in Europe, or the small population of black cats in Europe today, is a direct result of that breed being deemed particularly devil-like. Of course, the bubonic plague also motivated the kitty killings, as many believed that cat germs contributed to the plague spread. However, history shows that the Black Death, which ravaged Europe in the 1300s, was actually caused by rats and the fleas on them, which means that killing off the rat's main predators was probably not the best idea. And, yeah, people now say that this led to the Black Plague being a lot worse than it could have been because the Pope did not like cats.
Mm.
All right, the answers are in. Here is the final question. Anyone's game.
Triple points?
No triple points required this week because it's just anyone's game.
Oh, okay.
You get maximum points here. And you and Raywin will be equal winners. Do I get maximum points?
Can I rewrite my answer? I forgot I was in the game.
No, well, honestly, this one, I don't think there's any of these sound realistic.
No one could guess.
You're going to be like, one of those is a real movie?
Wow.
One of these is a real movie. Okay. And the question is, what is the plot to the 1977 film Chatterbox? Wacky scientist Thorgood Melman is down on his luck. His inventions just aren't getting anyone excited. One day in his lab, with nothing left to lose, he mixes together a concoction that gives boxes, usually inanimate, the power of speech. Once again, nobody is excited. Option 2. When wisecracking 12-year-old Billy offends his elderly neighbour, he wakes up one day to find she's a witch and has stolen his voice. With the school talent show fast approaching, Billy enlists the help of two nerds he used to pick on to solve a series of puzzles to get his voice back and maybe learn some valuable life lessons along the way. It's my favorite. I love that. A small metal box gets left behind on a plane and really would not shut up about it to all the other checked-in baggage. Runtime is 122 minutes. Johnny and Miranda finally realize their dream of opening the Chatterbox, Manhattan's hottest new nightclub, only to discover the building is haunted. This is bad, but what's worse, the ghosts want to party on down even more than the club goers. Or after it criticizes one of her lovers, a hairdresser discovers her vagina can talk and it has dreams of becoming an opera singer. So one of these is a real film that was made in 1977 as a different time.
Yeah.
Anything jumping out at you here?
No. Were there any clues you can give as to like any stars of the movie?
I think the only name I recognise was Rip, not Rip Torn, the other Rip. Do you know the other Rip?
Rip Curl.
Rip Curl. Let me search actors named Rip. Rip.
That may or may not have been.
I don't think there is
Rip Taylor.
Oh, Rip Taylor.
Yeah, ah. Rip Taylor's in it.
Is that a?
He was like a really over the top guy.
Oh.
And I saw a clip of it, and he was, you know, he's just like wearing a bad wig, and he's got like this mustache.
Which, oh, yeah. Okay. Right.
Well, that kind of gives a little bit of, yeah, a little bit of intrigue. I reckon maybe it's the hairdresser. If it's like a guy with a big mustache.
Oh, he, look! Don't read it too much.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, he could be playing the vagina.
I think. Yeah.
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 I
they
think
typically
that's
have beards, 1970s, but a mustache.
Bush, yeah, 1977, Bush was in. Yeah.
No, Bush was in, I think, in the
no,
early
Bush
90s.
Was Bush was out in the 70s.
And then again in the early again. 2000s. Yeah, yeah.
W. Bush.
So locking in the hairdresser for Raywin.
That's a bit of fun.
What about you, Saran?
Can I hear one more read through?
Yep. Do you want the whole things or do you just want me to?
Just summarise.
So we got the wacky scientist who's down on his luck. Got the wisecracking 12-year-old. Who meets a witch. Got the metal box that gets left behind on a plane. We got the couple that opens a Manhattan nightclub and then the hairdresser whose vagina can talk.
Yeah, I think it's the Chatterbox nightclub.
Nightclub? Mm. For Saran, okay. Lock that in.
I actually think it's – I think Rip Taylor's played a vagina, but I need to win.
Before?
Oh, I need, yeah. It's not as exciting if we pick the same one. So I'm going with the nightclub.
Okay.
Because Rip Taylor, he's a wacky guy.
He's a wacky guy. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's the road. The answers. The wacky scientist down on his luck. That was written by Saran. I thought that was maybe the most believable of them all.
Yeah.
Then we had the wisecracking 12-year-old who had his voice stolen by a witch. That was written by Dave Loring, a.k.a. The House. Mm. A small metal box that gets left behind on a plane would not shut up about it. That was written by Raywin.
Runtime 122 minutes. That's where
I. A lot of.
I thought, yeah.
In 1977, the movies were. I think they were at least 178 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that means one of you is correct. But it's not Saran because the.
A bit more suspense than that.
The Manhattan's Hottest New Nightclub was written by The House / Dave Loring again. And the correct answer is after it criticized one of her lovers, a hairdresser discovers her vagina can talk and it has dreams of becoming an opera singer.
What?
Great. So was Rip Taylor the vagina?
I don't know. Rip Taylor was just a guy in it, maybe a manager or something. But.
Was
so
not the Bush.
1 point.
Is the important distinction.
To Raywin, 1 point to The House. And while I tabulate the scores. Let me tell you a little bit more about the movie. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't list any critical reviews, so there's no critical consensus.
So no one can criticize it.
We can't say that it's bad then.
Yeah.
The not audience have scored it though at 22%.
I never trust the audience.
No.
And I did find a couple of reviews which I think were from the time. The Los Angeles Times said, "The film's vulgar premise smacks of smirking adolescence. It's crude one-liners full of foul language that unsuccessfully try to stretch to a full-length movie. The movie is a male masturbatory fantasy." Diabolique magazine wrote that, quote, "There are actually worse concepts for a comedy, and with really smart handling, this could have even been worth watching, maybe even been quite feminist. But as used here, the film is far too depressing."
Wow.
Well, imagine that. It's a movie about a talking vagina who wants to be an opera singer.
It's too sad.
How grim is that?
I feel sorry for Diabolique magazine that they're not counted as a critical review.
Yeah, I know. Or Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, have they?
Just no one's bothered to collate them. Yeah. Yeah, so apparently, I mean, the idea sounds so good, but apparently it's not too good. Anyway.
Wow. Male masturbatory. Masturbatory dream. Oh boy.
Every night I wish my girlfriend's vagina could sing opera.
Yeah.
That is
everyone's fantasy. Yeah.
All right. So
with proper handling, maybe.
Yeah. That line was so
that's like a
cold
a pun?
And just so brutal. It's not the worst concept. And with really smart handling, it could have even been worth watching. So good. All right. Here are the final scores. In third place with his best ever score on 3 points, it's Saran.
Thank you.
Yay, Soren. Best ever.
Yeah, happy with three.
In second place on 5 points, it's The House. But out in front on 6 points, the winner is Raewyn Pickering.
Run away. I would say, you.
How often does The House win? Okay, The House often wins, but when I'm on, The House loses.
Loses every
so
time.
So I am serving a role.
Thank you for your contribution and bringing The House down.
Yep, congrats, Raewyn.
You really brought The House down with some of your very funny answers. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Where can people find you? You're both up and about at the upcoming comedy festivals?
Yeah, up and about. I'm doing my first ever solo at the comedy festival.
Very exciting.
Hopefully it's as successful as your debut here on Who Knew With Matt Stewart.
Hopefully. Runtime 122 minutes.
Six stars.
Yes.
It's a six-star show.
I would take that. So you could follow, probably Instagram is the best. It is not on sale yet, but look, that's a bit of sizzle for you, isn't it? Raewyn's Picks on Instagram.
And what's the show called?
Bush Week. A lot of bush talk.
Great.
Bush is in.
Yeah.
Is Chatterbox brought up at all?
Rip Taylor featured heavily, so actually it works perfectly.
And Soren, where can people find you?
I will be at the Western Hotel in Melbourne for the whole festival.
That's where you're staying, but where are you performing? A little joke there.
Very good. Also the Western Hotel for the whole month of Melbourne Comedy Festival. And then in Adelaide, I'll be at the Rhino Room from the 28th to the 4th of March, 28th of Feb to the 4th of March. And Sydney, yet to be announced or locked in. But I will be there. Doing a show at the Sydney Comedy Festival too.
Very exciting. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us, Raewyn and Soren. As we're still a relatively new show, it'd be great if you could help get the word out there by, you know, giving us a 5-star review, maybe telling your friends if you think you know anyone who might enjoy it. But cheers for tuning in to Who Knew It with Matt Stewart. And now that you know it, I've been Matt Stewart. Goodbye. Still working on that outro.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.